In the darkest part of the night, a ship's captain cautiously piloted his warship through the fog-shrouded waters. With straining eyes, he scanned the hazy darkness, searching for dangers lurking just out of sight. His worst fears were realized when he saw a bright light straight ahead. It appeared to be a vessel on a collision course with his ship. To avert disaster, he quickly radioed the oncoming vessel. "This is Captain Jeremiah Smith," his voice crackled over the radio. "Please alter your course 10 degrees south. Over." To the captain's amazement, the foggy image did not move. Instead, he heard back on the radio, "Captain Smith, this is Private Thomas Johnson. Please alter your course 10 degrees north. Over." Appalled at the audacity of the message, the captain shouted back over the radio, "Private Johnson, this is Captain Smith, and I order you to immediately alter your course 10 degrees south. Over." A second time, the oncoming light did not budge. "With all due respect, Captain Smith," came the private's voice again, "I order you to alter your course immediately 10 degrees north. Over." Angered and frustrated that this sailor would endanger the lives of his men, his ship, his crew, the captain growled back over the radio, "Private Johnson, I can have you court-martialed for this. For the last time, I command you on the authority of the United States government to alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship." And the private's final transmission was chilling. "Captain Smith, sir, once again, with all due respect, I command you to alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse." A lighthouse. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is making a powerful statement, a powerful claim. His Jewish listeners must have been awestruck to hear him make that statement. First of all, he says, "I am." Remember, "I am" is a name for God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moses is at the burning bush. Verse 13, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." By saying "I am," Jesus is declaring, "Hey, I'm God. I am deity." And then he says, "Not only am I God, but I'm also the light of the world." Well, Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." So again, twice in one sentence, Jesus is declaring, "I'm God. I'm deity. I am, and I'm the light of the world." Jesus is claiming very clearly that he is God. Science tells us that light is made up of different wavelengths. In fact, there are basically three of them. And all three of them have to be there to have this thing we call light. They're distinct from each other. Each ray has its own separate function, but they have to work together to create light. Well, the Bible says that God created light. And just as light is a combination of these three rays, the Godhead is a combination of three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Einstein said that the reason he could construct the theory of relativity was because there's one thing in the whole world that is unchangeable. The speed of light is constant everywhere. It never changes. Isn't that interesting? Because in Hebrews 13, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. The speed of light never changes. God created light. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. We've been talking about our wardrobe the last several Sundays as Christians, what we're supposed to wear. Colossians 3 tells us to put on compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. And a couple of weeks ago, remember, I added something to our wardrobe. We added some work boots. And on those boots, we imagined the words bridge builder on our work boots. So we added that to our wardrobe. Well, this morning, I would like us to take another look at wardrobe, but at this time, I want us to look at what Jesus wears. What does he wear? What's in his wardrobe? What does he wear? Our scripture for today is Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 1 through 8. Something known as the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the side of a high mountain, probably Mount Hermon, to pray. And then the Bible says Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. Luke says it this way. Luke says that the appearance of his face changed. Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe writes that the word translated transfigured gives us our English word metamorphosis. Ever remember biology class? A caterpillar, right, goes through metamorphosis where they change into a butterfly. They are transfigured. And note that this metamorphosis, this change, comes from the inside out. That's important, the inside out. So our Lord's glory was not reflected off of an outside source, but he was changed, transfigured from the inside out. The glory was in him and it came out and it transfigured him. His face shone like the sun, S-U-N. And his clothes, and here's the wardrobe idea, became as white as the light. Luke says that his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. See the lightning last night? Oh, yeah. I decided I was going to go for a walk. I like walking when it's dark outside, and I started walking around. I have a circle around New Berlin. And there was lightning going on. I was like, you know, cloud to cloud. We call it heat lightning, whatever. And I thought, oh, that's no big deal, you know. So I started my walk. And just got started walking down by the New Berlin Elementary School. And I noted that it seemed like the lightning was getting brighter and more, you know, more of it. And then, of course, I can feel this wind is starting to pick up. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. So I turned around and walked back home very fast. got onto our street, and it just started coming down. Got into the house, and we have a little Shih Tzu dog, you know, about 2 years old now. Tiny is her name. Greets me at the door. Tiny greets everybody at the door. And doesn't bark, she'll lick you to death, is what she does. But and her little tails are wagging away, and she greets her at the door, and there was a crack, and under the couch. You big wimp. I mean, little wimp, you know. But anyway. But I'm thinking about this flash of lightning. Jesus looked like a flash of lightning, like a lightning bolt. Man, that's bright. That's bright. And it's powerful. And I think it's awesome. And you can't miss it. Even if I close my eyes, it still lights up, you know. That's what Jesus looked like. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. So I'm thinking, wow, things are getting exciting. You know, if I'm Peter, James, or John, I'm watching this, things are getting really exciting. And then Moses and Elijah show up. You know, Moses, the greatest of all lawgivers, Elijah, the greatest of all the prophets. And they just show up. And it's as if these two twin towers of Israel's religious history came to encourage Jesus to continue on the path that he's walking, to continue towards the cross. And I'm thinking, wow, can you imagine, you know, Jesus' face changed. Imagine the face of Peter, James, and John when these two show up. And then, to top it all off, God shows up. In comes a cloud. Sometimes we call it the Shekinah glory. God always speaks out of a cloud. And he's speaking, and hear this incredible divine voice of God speaking. Have you ever had God show up? Have you ever had God show up? Wow. It's incredible. It's incredible. God shows up. We've got lightning. We've got a cloud. We've got a God's divine voice. Wow. Side note. Many Bible scholars think that this is a picture of heaven. That what James, Peter, what John are seeing, they are looking at heaven. Okay? You've got Moses and Elijah in their new resurrection bodies. You've got God. You've got Jesus. They're talking to each other. You've got a picture of heaven and what it's going to be like for us. And they like to point out, and this is again just on the side, but they like to point out that, you know, Jesus and Elijah and Moses are having a conversation which says, yeah, in heaven, we're going to recognize each other. We're going to have conversations. We're going to talk to each other. Jesus is going to be there. God is going to be there. It's a picture of heaven. And then it's interesting to me that if you look in the book of Revelation, Revelation 21:23, there's a fascinating statement. Talking about, you know, heaven, the city, the New Jerusalem. The city does not need the sun, S-U-N, or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Jesus is bolt of lightning. In heaven, he's the light source. There aren't street lights. You don't turn on the lamp in your mansion. No such thing as that, because the light that is there is Jesus. He will light up the place. No darkness, there's no moon, no sun, no stars, no darkness. It's Jesus. And so, in this transfiguration, in this cloud, we've got a picture of heaven. And Jesus, the light shining, is lighting up the place. And there's heaven right there. Wow, that's exciting. That's exciting. But it gets even better. It gets even better than that, because then we've got statements like in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 14, where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are. You and 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 you. You are the light of the world. You look like a bolt of lightning in a world that is covered with darkness. You're the light. You're the light. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." So be really careful here. Jesus is saying that, you know, God is light and I am the light of the world. I'm God and you are light, so now you're God. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that you are a reflection of the light. You are a reflection of my light. Okay? Matthew 5, back to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everybody in the house. Look at verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise you. You're not God. You're a reflection of God. Praise you? No, praise your Father who is in heaven. We're to be a reflection of that light and to drive away the darkness. Acts 13. Acts 13. Verse 47. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Light drives away darkness. We are God's witnesses in a world of darkness. We are a reflection of God's light in this sinful world, and we are to bring them to salvation. Every day, at exactly the same time, Margaret would go to the bathroom cabinet, open it, and take out a huge bottle of castor oil. And then she would head to the kitchen to get a tablespoon. At the sound of the drawer opening and the silverware rattling, Patches, her Yorkshire terrier, would run and hide. Like our Tiny when the lightning and thunder goes. Patches would run and hide, sometimes under the bed, at other times in the bathtub or behind Margaret's recliner. Someone had convinced Margaret that Patches would have strong teeth, a beautiful coat, and a long life if she gave him a spoonful of castor oil every day. Oh. Oh. So as an act of love, every 24 hours, she cornered Patches, pinned him down, pried open his mouth, and poured a tablespoon of castor oil down his little doggy throat. Neither Patches nor Margaret enjoyed their daily wrestling match, but they did it every day. Then one day, in the middle of their battle, with one sideways kick, Patches sent the dreaded bottle of castor oil flying across the kitchen floor. It was a momentary victory for the canine, as Margaret let him go so she could run to the pantry and grab a towel to clean up the mess. When Margaret got back, she was utterly shocked. There was Patches licking up the spilled castor oil with a look of joy on his face. And Margaret began to laugh uncontrollably. In one moment, it all made sense. Patches liked castor oil. He just hated being pinned down and having it poured down his throat. Welcome to the world of evangelism. to the world of witnessing. We've been called to reflect Jesus, not to shove it down somebody's throat. We've been called to reflect that wardrobe: kindness, gentleness, love, forgiveness, self-control. So that when people say that, instead of running away from us because they feel like we're trying to shove it down their throat, they come running to us. Hey, you're different. Why are you different? Well, I see you every day and I watch the way you act and behave and I listen to what you say, and you're not like everybody else. You're different. How come? And then friend would say, you know what? I want what you got. That's evangelism. That's letting the light shine, reflecting the light of Jesus. And that's what we're called to do, to be a reflection of his light. In Jesus' wardrobe, he's got a robe hanging in there, and it says on it, Light of the World. And he expects you and me to have the same robe in our wardrobe. And he expects us to wear it, that we can be a reflection of who he is. Who'd you witness to this past week? Who did you witness to? Who'd you talk to? Who did you share love with, kindness with, gentleness with, forgiveness with, grace with, mercy with? If you did that, you witnessed to somebody. Did you let your light shine? Did you let your light shine? Let that be part of your wardrobe. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the light of Jesus, light that drives away darkness. Lord, fill us, empower us, inspire us, guide us, direct us to be the reflection of your light. That when people see us, they will see you. And they will want you. They will want to have that relationship with you. May we be your witnesses, Lord. May we be your light. In your name, amen.